This is God and Autobiography, the podcast, a dramatic adaptation and continuing discussion of the book, God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher, by Jerry L. Martin. He was a lifelong agnostic, but one day he had an occasion to pray. To his vast surprise, God answered in words. Being a philosopher, he had a lot of questions, and God had a lot to tell him. Episode 106. Hello, and welcome to God and Autobiography, the podcast. I'm Scott Langdon, and this week we bring you a special episode of the podcast as we prepare for next week's third edition in our new series, The Life Wisdom Project. In each edition of the Life Wisdom Project series, Jerry is joined by a special guest, and together they explore what Jerry's conversations with God imply about how we can live our lives better. Next week, Jerry is joined by Jonathan Wiedenbaum, professor of philosophy and world religions at Berklee College in New York, and the two discuss episode 3 of our podcast, I Ask God About the Beliefs I Grew Up With. Adapted from chapters 2 and 3 of the book, episode 3 recounts the transition of Jerry and Abigail's relationship from dating to marriage, and how God remained an ever-present partner. In episode 3, as is the case for the entire audio adaptation of the book, I speak the voice of Jerry, and Jerry L. Martin, who heard the voice, speaks the voice of God. Also in episode 3, Abigail Rosenthal, Jerry's wife, speaks her own voice. Remember, you can hear the complete audio adaptation of the book anytime by beginning with episode 1 of our podcast and listening through episode 44. And now, episode 3. I Ask God About the Beliefs I Grew Up With. I hope you enjoy the episode. Episode 3. Abigail was still teaching full-time in New York, and I was working in Washington, D.C. We saw each other only on all-too-brief weekends. Come summer, we were spending more time together. She needed a car. I looked at the ads and found a nice little white used car. The guy selling it was the youth minister at his church. I started to explain I was buying it for my girlfriend, but that wasn't true. I was buying it for my future wife. "I'm buying it for my fiancé," I told the man. There had never been any doubt that I would marry Abigail. I never considered anything short of that. But in a methodical way, I had held off for 6 long months. It was time to pop the question. I took her to a dark, romantic Spanish restaurant in Alexandria. I told her I loved her and wanted to spend at least one lifetime together, and asked if she would be my wife. I asked and waited, and waited, then waited some more. She seemed deep in thought. "You haven't answered my question."
"Yes."
"Why the long pause?"
"It was a serious question. I thought I should give it a serious answer."
To us, the ceremony was not just the last step of a legal process. It was important to be married before God. His presence was required. Everything seemed so slapdash, I actually worried God might not be present with us. Lord, will you be with us?
You couldn't keep me away. My presence will be fully with you. I bless this marriage. I will be present in every pore of your being.
It was a simple and beautiful ceremony, and we did feel blessed. But as time went on, I found I was praying, but not really listening. I was avoiding something. I had entered college a Christian and left an agnostic. I had no desire to be washed in the blood again. The question I had been avoiding was, do you want me to become a Christian?
No, I don't want you to join any denomination.
Is it okay for me to read about Jesus?
Yes, but reading through the Old Testament first is a good approach.
The God of the Old Testament seems terrifying. You do not seem terrifying, Lord.
I was young then. I had not had much experience with people. I am an evolving God.
God was young then? He is evolving? The God who spoke to me was very much a personal God. It was surprising, but not out of character, if, like other persons, he changes over time. Later, I would learn this is why God wanted to talk to me. I was relieved I did not have to become a Christian, but I still wondered whether Christian beliefs about Jesus were true. Lord, is Jesus your son?
Yes.
I had trouble tracking these answers. But you told me I should not become a Christian.
Yes, you should not.
But you just said...
To believe that Jesus is my son is not the same as being a Christian. Christianity is a sect with some truths, but many limitations. Study Jesus, learn from him, but do not become a Christian.
Lord, does Jesus have a unique role, or is he one of the many manifestations of God?
Unique.
Is he the key to saving or healing the world?
Yes, he is an important part of it.
Is the language of believing in him apt?
Yes.
Should I pray to Jesus or God?
It is the same.
What about Mary?
The feminine side of God, the healing side, is important in healing the world. Mary is a good embodiment, representation, reflection of that side of God.
My wife is Jewish, and I was afraid all this talk about Jesus would upset her. But, like someone who talks too much about the very thing he wants to avoid, I asked, Lord, did the Jews make a mistake in not being open to the new covenant announced by Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, no. Here goes.
They became wedded to the covenant. The covenant with the people of Israel in their messianic destiny. That was and remains a valid covenant, but it is not the only covenant. I make many covenants with human beings. They are all valid and have their own destiny and work together toward a common destiny for mankind. The new covenant of Jesus is not as incompatible with the covenant of Israel as Jews tend to suppose. It is compatible, but does not supersede, does not erase or nullify the old covenant.
Does Jesus replace the old covenant?
No, he fulfills it.
I see. But does Jesus fulfill the covenant in a way that replaces it?
No, it remains fully valid.
Should Jews in Jesus' day have accepted him as Messiah?
Yes.
Why didn't they accept Jesus?
Many different reasons. He was too radical, flouted their traditions, spoke a language they found uncomfortable, alien. It's not easy to believe. It's easier to pray for a distant Messiah than to accept a present one.
Lord, was it a sin for the Jews to reject Jesus?
No more or less than all those years you did not believe. It is a sin in a sense, but it is also much of the human condition not to believe. People are skeptical for good reasons, having to do with their intelligence, as well as bad.
Did the Jews kill Christ?
That's a silly question. Did Americans or Southerners kill Lincoln? Some Jews, some Gentiles were equally implicated. That is a non-issue.
I would often tell Abigail what I had been told, and usually she reserved comment. But when she heard that Jews should have accepted Jesus, she burst into tears.
2,000 years of pogroms and persecution, ghettos and exile, all for a mistake?
I don't know if that is really an implication of what I had been told, but it was certainly a natural reaction.
Mistake or not, the people of the covenant, as the suffering servant identified by Isaiah, will always be vulnerable to persecution.
After that, I wondered whether I should share everything with Abigail. What should I do about Abigail, Lord? She is a sensitive person. Feelings shoot right through her body. Should I keep it to myself?
Use discretion. Do not break the vessel.
Thank you for listening to God and Autobiography, the podcast. Subscribe for free today wherever you listen to your podcasts and hear a new episode every week. You can hear the complete dramatic adaptation of God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher by Jerry L. Martin by beginning with episode 1 of our podcast and listening through its conclusion with episode 44. You can read the original true story in the book from which this podcast is adapted, God and Autobiography as Told to a Philosopher, available now at Amazon.com and always at godandautobiography.com. Pick up your own copy today. If you have any questions about this or any other episode, please email us at questions@godandautobiography.com and experience the world from God's perspective, as it was told to a philosopher. This is Scott Langdon. I'll see you next time.